You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through.
Everyone, and thank you for tuning in for what I know is going to be another very special episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. And once again, if you are a fan of old school music, or you used to love, or you still love 80s soul music and dance music, then you are in for a real treat, because joining me this evening is Miss Alpha Anderson, the former lead singer of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominated group Chic. Yes, you heard me right. Chic. They brought us such great hits as La Freak, Good Times, and I Want Your Love. Now, tonight, not only will Alpha be sharing her personal journey, but she is also here to bless us with a new, fresh sound of classic meets contemporary music that is representative of her newly released CD, Music from My Heart. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff is a vision from God, and it is my very transparent journey of facing my own truths without placing blame as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. Now, together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new and inspiring opportunities to discover your life's purpose. In doing so, together we will support one another through this journey. So that is why I invite you to tune in on the conversation with us on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at up2meradio.com. And so with that said, I want to say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know that this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive the show, and that is why we always want to hear from you. So if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, I invite you to call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to come on air. Now, please remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to be added into the on-air host queue, if you want to make a comment or to ask my guest a question. And we generally begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30, but feel free to call in at any time. And my guest and I certainly do look forward to hearing from you. Now, before I get started, I have to once again say how grateful I am for Ms. Tanya Hawley, who is responsible for making it possible for me to connect with this evening's special guest. Now, Tanya has really been instrumental in connecting me with the most amazing and talented people with the most powerful testimonies of faith and perseverance. Now, people such as my guest this evening, who learn to embrace her gift, which allow her to then say yes to life. So with that said, it is without further ado that I ask you to join me in welcoming to There's Life After Layoff radio show, soul and dance music icon, Miss Alpha Anderson. Thank you for joining me this evening, Alpha.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Allie. The pleasure is all mine.
Wow, thank you. I know that this is going to be a wonderful show. Our connection has just been blessed from the start, and it is my pleasure to have you joining me tonight. And, you know, let me just start out by saying this, that in getting to know you, it has brought back so many wonderful memories. And, you know, I'm probably getting ready to date myself a little bit, but that's okay. Because it brought back memories of when I was a teenager and when we used to go to the dances and in the skating rink, where we all enjoyed the multitude of dance hits that Chic was producing during that time. So just needless to say, I am a huge fan of your music.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we get started, I always want to ask our guests to please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and help us get to know the personal side of Alpha.
Okay, well, I'm a Southern girl, born and bred in Augusta, Georgia. I grew up in the segregated South, so you're talking about dating yourself. That's definitely,
right.
I'm definitely dating myself, but that's who I am. I've learned not to deny one moment of my existence on this planet.
Wow.
You know, so, I grew up in the segregated South in Augusta, Georgia. My family moved to Washington, D.C. for better opportunities and ended up going back to Augusta, Georgia, and where I went to Payne College, which is the UNCF college in my hometown.
Okay.
After graduating, though, I was given a graduation gift to come to New York, and that's how I ended here in New York. And
wow.
That's where a whole other part of my life began.
Wow. Right. So, you know, that kind of brings us to this part. Share with our listeners, you have a very interesting story about how your singing and music career got started. And I would guess that it all started in New York. So share with us about that.
It did. I came, when I first came to New York, I didn't know, you know, being a Southerner, I didn't know that you could sing any place other than church or Girl Scouts and those types of gatherings. But when I came to New York, I was really fortunate to meet musicians here who were, like, doing music. And I actually met second-generation musicians, which was, like, rare.
Right.
And I met Nat Adderley Jr., who is the son of the famous Nat Adderley Sr., and, of course, his uncle, Cannonball Adderley.
Oh, wow.
He introduced me to T.S. Monk's children. We called her Boo Boo Monk and T.S. Monk Jr., you know. So those are the people that I met when I first came to New York, and it's through Nat that I actually got a chance to have my first professional performance here in New York. It was called Big Man, because just before he died, Cannonball completed his stage play about John Henry.
Okay.
You know, the folk hero, the steel-driving man who was about to be replaced by technology.
By a machine, right.
Yeah, and wanted to prove, you know. So I got an opportunity to actually sing and play one of the characters at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, wow.
And got my first write-up. So my first musical write-up was actually in the New York Times.
Oh, my goodness.
How awesome is that?
Exactly.
I mean, looking back at it, here I am, little girl from Georgia, not knowing anything about music, and I began to meet these people who were just entrenched in music and shared that with me. And I'm very grateful to them to this day, and met others who are still on the music scene. And that's pretty much where it began for me.
Oh, wow, that is so powerful. And just imagine what was going through your mind at that time, like, oh, my goodness, you know. So was this that one defining moment when you made the conscious decision to, you know, embrace that gift and say yes to life? And what does that mean?
Several moments led up to that,
okay,
you know, for me to say yes to life. That was one of them when I said, oh, it was like, people really do this for a living and you can really move people with your voice. And then after that, I don't know how I met Marvin Hannibal Peterson, who was a jazz trumpet player, but I met him, and he had written this song called Children of the Fire, and it was a protest song against the Vietnam War, and it's how we were dropping bombs on people and killing people, and he wrote this song, and he asked me to sing it, and I actually premiered it at Lincoln Center. So I guess these were messages that I was a little bit too young in my journey to to get at that time. But I've been thinking about that trajectory because I was also in education, and I've always been in education as well as in music. So during that time, I was teaching at Hunter College. I was a full-time lecturer at Hunter College because when I came to New York, one of the things that I had done was that I had gone to Teachers College at Columbia University to get a master's in teaching English. So I've always been sort of hedging my bets, as it were, you know, following what I thought to be the sane, safe choice.
Safe. But, wow, that's key right
you
there.
You know, right? Following that, but understanding that there was this other thing inside of me that that I was passionate about.
Right.
And that I had wanted to be a part of for so long, because as a child I would sing and dance all the time. And I remember praying, as only a child can, in sincerity, please don't ever let me be separated from music. Now, when you're a child, you don't understand that that's a prayer.
Yeah. Wow.
You don't understand that
the power
goes
of
out.
Those
for,
words.
It, yes. You don't know how it goes out. And how it manifests, particularly when you're innocent and you don't have all these other things around you, and your heart, your intent and your purpose and your words are aligned.
Yes, yes.
And therein lies the power.
Yes, from your mouth to God's ear.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so here I am all these years later, still working with young people and still very much in the music business or doing music. Because the business is not the business as it used to be.
Right,
but I'm
right.
still very much doing music.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned that you were in education, and that was the quote-unquote safe route, because that's what you knew. So you obviously came from a family that stressed the importance of education. So I can only imagine how difficult it might have been for you to kind of, in a way, go against that family tradition or that legacy, if you will, to pursue a career in music. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. It was very, very difficult. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, if truth be told, I never really totally stepped away from education.
Okay, okay.
But
you found a way to mirror the
two? What I found is a way to put my two loves together, music and education. And that's one of the things that was really, really great for me. I got a second master's in school leadership and was a teacher, assistant principal, and principal of a school here in New York, a high school. And after I left that, and that was one of the challenging times in my life, as a matter of fact, when I'm going to point out several of them, when I had to learn how to say yes, because I began to be just disillusioned with the state of education in this country. I was very disillusioned with high-stakes testing when I knew, and I know experts know, that that's not the best thing for kids.
Right.
And I knew that in the better schools, kids didn't have to take these high-stakes testing. Take these high-stakes tests, excuse me, and that there are other ways to learn. So that was a challenging time for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I began to do is try to find ways to bring music and the arts into education. So we were able to do that at my school. And when I began to leave the principalship, on my way out, it took me a while to transition out of education. I was fortunate or blessed to be at the New York City Department of Education the school, the Office of Special Projects, and work with the office, work with that office.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, lo and behold, working with that office to find arts partners for schools.
Wow, how wonderful.
Wasn't that something?
Wow.
I mean, it's just like, so that's when I began to merge my two loves, my love for education and my love for music. And I was able to help them read proposals and develop guidelines and help people look at rigorous curriculum for designing arts projects and arts programs that were rigorous so that when kids finished, if they wanted to, they could have some pre-professional training in the arts.
Wow.
And I think that I was just led to that.
Yes.
So that was definitely a yes moment when I said, oh, you know, afraid when I went there.
Right.
I haven't done this before, but understanding that I've never been placed in a situation that I really wasn't prepared for or that I would not be supported.
Right. God, that was the plan that God had for you, and he made a way for you to combine the two loves.
Yes.
Where
yes.
it was beneficial to, you know, satisfy you as far as you not being separated from music.
Exactly.
Then at the same time, being a blessing to the children who was on the receiving end of those arts programs or giving them the opportunity to have music as part of the curriculum.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it reawakened a passion in me for the arts as well. Because
wow.
I had closed the door.
Hmm.
I had closed the door and thought, okay, so this part of my life is over, so now let me get serious. But boy, have I learned so many lessons, you know. The wisdom of fun and the magic of joy.
Wow.
You know, that's
yes.
what life is all about. I didn't
Absolutely.
Have to be so serious. I just had to relax and flow.
Yes.
Flow with the rhythm of life and understand my flow and where I fit into that.
Wow.
And when
yes.
I stopped fighting it, things just began to open up. And we try. Sometimes, you know, we try so hard to make things happen. And sometimes you just need to relax and let it flow.
We fail in that trying. We have to really rely on God to do. And so sometimes I've learned myself not to try so hard, but just more rely.
Yes.
Not try,
yes.
but rely. There you
yes.
go. That's tweetable right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, and when you do that, you know, things just have a way of sort of working themselves out. So I began to realize that I'm passionate about music, you know, and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it.
Right, right. That was your gift. That was your calling, your anointing. So, you know, you've had a very long, illustrious career, and you've had the fortunate opportunity to work with a variety of musical icons, and one of which, who I know everybody will know when I mention his name, was the legendary one and only Mr. Luther Vandross. So please share with us about how you were introduced to him and how this chance meeting forever changed your life and your career.
It did. That was another yes moment for me, saying yes to life. I was actually singing background in a studio for this artist named Lou Courtney, and the background singer with me, whose name was Edna Holt, I will never forget it. She came into the studio and she says, "Alpha, there's some people in the next studio that you just have to meet. They're part of the New York artist community." And I said, "Great," because I had already met, you know, the people that I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "There's Fonzie Thornton, Michelle Cobbs, and this guy named Luther, and you just got to meet him and hear his voice."
Okay.
And I said, "Okay." So it was just, okay, this guy named Luther.
Right.
You know,
right.
So when we had an opportunity, we had a break, we went over to their studio, and I was introduced to both Fonzie Thornton and Michelle Cobbs.
Uh-huh.
And then Fonzie walked me over to this gentleman that was sitting in the chair,
uh-huh.
quiet, big, overalls with his head down.
Wow.
He walked me over, and he says, "Luther, I want you to meet Alpha." Well, Luther slowly lifted his head, put his hand out to shake my hand and said, "Hi, how are you?" and put his head right back down.
Oh,
and I said, "Oh my goodness, this guy just hates me."
Right,
and
right,
I said,
right.
"Hi, Luther, good to meet you." Anyway, we just decided to hang out for a minute, and they started their rehearsal again. This man stepped up to the microphone, and I was smitten from the very first note. I had never heard a gift like that. I just hadn't heard a voice like that, and I was just like, "Whoa!"
Oh,
so
yes.
we went back to our rehearsal, and about 2 days later, I got a phone call from one of those people telling me that Luther wanted to know if he could get in touch with me. Could he have my phone number?
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm saying, yes.
Right, right.
Well, we started chatting on the phone, and pretty soon, you know, I was going over to his house, and we would cook. Yes, folks, we would cook.
How wonderful.
We were foodies.
Yes.
We would cook and eat and sing and laugh and talk, and that's how I began to meet other New York artists, you know, like Robin Clark and Carlos Alomar, who was David Bowie's musical director for a long time. Robin Clark sang with Simple Minds and I said, I didn't know that this layer of professionals existed, because music was always, it was almost like an avocation. It wasn't anything that you really did for a living. I mean, I knew about James Brown, but I didn't know any real artists up close and personal. Later on, I found out that Sharon Jones and the Dap King, well, Sharon Jones was from my neck of the woods, too. But here were people who were, this is all they wanted to do, they ever wanted to do. So this is where they put all of their energy. And their time. And Fonzie and I had a conversation about 8 months ago, and we talked about the fact that Luther really had a university. It was called the Luther Vandross Music for Performing Arts, and we were students and then became instructors.
Yes.
Because we would sit and we would analyze music. We would watch people on television. He would point out things to me. And he would say, "Listen at how she holds that note. Listen to this." I mean, we even went far. We even went so far as to sit on a park bench in New York and pretend like we were in a limousine.
Really?
And then,
oh, how fun.
So how are we going to get in and out of the limousine when we got famous?
Talk about
being caught up in the magic of what it all was. But this is before Luther was even famous. You know, this is when he was beginning.
Memory. What a wonderful memory. Oh,
and
wow.
So he also at this time was like a great session singer. He would do jingles, and he would do background sessions for people. And sometimes he would call me, and he called me one day and said, "Alpha, I have a session for you." And I said, "Okay, Lou, that's fine. Where?" And he told me, he says, "It's for a friend of mine named Nile Rodgers and his partner Bernard Edwards. They have this new group called Chic, and they want us to come. He wants me to bring some people in to sing background."
Okay.
And I said, "Great." I met him there, and I heard "Dance, Dance, Dance." You know, I wasn't really sure what I was walking into, because we had never done disco before. They told me Luther said it was disco music. And I was saying, "Well, I've never really done disco music. I've only done R&B.
Right.
And had I not said yes to that opportunity, my life would have been a different life. But I opened my heart. I opened myself up to life and to the possibilities that it would bring. And look what it's brought to my life, because I said, yes, I'm going to try this. I'm going to give it a chance. And I heard "Dance, Dance, Dance," and I sang background on that first album.
Wow.
And as I was singing, I was very prayerful, and I said, "I love this, and I would love to be a part of this. This is all of my inward stuff happening."
Right, right, right.
And when Alan Bernard and Norma Jean Wright and Lucy Martin, Tony Thompson, when the group went out for the first year, their first tour, they asked Luther, and they asked me to come out and provide tour support.
Right.
And after that, Norma Jean left after the first record and went out to pursue her solo career.
Okay.
And they asked me to stay on and partner with Lucy Martin as one of the lead singers.
Wow.
And that's when I got the opportunity to do Le Freak and Dance
that
was and,
huge.
And I Want Your Love. And
yes.
So say yes, you know.
Yes.
It might have been a little bit out of my comfort zone, but saying yes to that brought so much to my life, you know. And those songs people are still loving
yes,
and listening
are.
To and rediscovering them today, and they
yes.
have become classics.
Absolutely, they have. And I don't care where you're at. If they play those songs, everybody's getting up.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to dance. And I think we were having this conversation before the show when I made the comment, you know, when you're uncomfortable is when you grow.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to be uncomfortable because you just never know what God is trying to do in that
That's
moment.
Right. That's right. Because, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I when I was in grad school, I can't remember who first said this to me, but they said, you know something? Change is inevitable, but
mm-hmm.
growth is optional.
Ah, oh, that's good right there. Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And I thought about it. This is change. You know, my husband always likens that change and the uncomfortableness of it is when you're in an airplane and you're getting ready to go to another level. And maybe there's a little turbulence, but you go through
mm-hmm.
that turbulence to get to the next level.
That's
you
right.
Know? You know,
that's
and
right.
I like the way you, I like the metaphor that you use for describing it as well. You know, it's a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
Getting outside your comfort zone is not always easy. It's a little uncomfortable. But I'm a firm believer that that's why we're here on this planet.
Right. But I think that when we're comfortable, we're not relying on God. We're relying on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're uncomfortable, it's that time when you say, okay, God, I need your help. I need your guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants us not, I'm not saying that to say that God always wants us to be uncomfortable, but there he wants us to rely on him for everything.
Right.
That's what his word says.
That's right. And to step out.
Yes.
To just step out. I used to always hear all these things I used to hear growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to step out on faith.
That's
and
right.
then you actually begin to understand what those things mean. You just have to step out and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I can honestly say that in those times when I've been uncomfortable, I liken it to God's love for me. Because that tells me that he loves me enough to make me uncomfortable because he doesn't want to leave me that way.
Yes. Yes. And you get
so that
pushed.
Equates to love.
Yes, absolutely. You get pushed to do something different. I mean, if I wasn't pushed, I'll be quite frank. There are things that I would not have done in my life. But sometimes
mm-hmm,
the situation has become so unbearably uncomfortable for me that I've got to leave. And then I can look back on it and say, okay, so this is why I had to leave, because I had to go to something else. But at the time,
right.
you know, I'm struggling and I'm trying to hold on to what's familiar.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if the divine says, okay, it's time to move on. Let it go. There are more
yes.
worlds to explore. There's an opportunity for you to rise higher.
Mm-hmm. That's called complacency. We become complacent.
Oh,
and we
yes.
equate that complacency to comfort.
Yeah.
And it's not the same.
Absolutely.
It's not the same at all. You know what, at this point in time, what I'm going to do, I want to wind down, and we're going to take a short station break, because when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your experience with Luther and ask you, you know, a couple of questions around that, and I know it's going to take longer than a minute to talk about, so let's take a short station break right now, and if we have callers when we return, then we'll take callers. If not, we'll just continue with our conversation, so just hold on there
okay.
for a minute, and we'll come right back, okay?
Okay.
So,
I wasn't
right
prepared
now,
to
gonna...
be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.uptomeradio.com. I'm Allie, your host, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And if you can, please also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. Now, tonight we're here with my special guest, Ms. Alpha Anderson. And before the break, Alpha, we were talking about the legendary Mr. Luther Vandross. Now, I wanted to ask you this. How has his untimely death impacted you in the music industry? Because I know that it had to have impacted you.
It did impact me. I was extremely sad for a long time, and I had just lost my mother, like maybe 6 weeks before I lost Luther.
Okay.
So,
wow.
And Luther was in the rehabilitation center, and Lisa Fisher had actually taken me to see after my mother died. No, actually, this is going to sound like a very strange story, and I've never shared it publicly before, but I'm going to share this story.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was not well.
Okay.
But I went with Lisa to the rehabilitation center where Luther was.
Okay.
And we chatted, and his mom called, and she says, Alpha, I'm so glad that you're there. You know, she says, because I can't come today, because she was on dialysis. She says, I don't feel very well. And she says, thank you so much for not abandoning him.
Mm.
And I said, Mom, I would never do that. You know, I love Luther. And I stood there over him. He was sitting in the wheelchair, and okay, I'm a little hesitant to share it, but I'm in it, so I'm going to share it. I heard the words, I heard something say, Mother is dying. I said, oh my goodness, and I thought it was Luther's mother. The next day I got a phone call telling me that my mother was dying.
Oh my goodness.
So
oh my goodness.
That was just like one of those moments that was that I've never spoken about before. I don't know why I chose to speak about it now, but mm-hmm. there must be a purpose and a reason.
Yes, ma'am.
I did not make the connection. I didn't know it was me. I didn't know it was my mother.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. Let me just gather myself here.
Take your time. Take your time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I guess the message is that there is such a thing as a still, small voice.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Yes, ma'am. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, and when you're open, you can hear it.
And when you're in peace, you can hear it.
Yeah, and when you're at peace, you can hear it. So, of course, that was a hard transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got back to see Luther again.
Wow.
And I was just getting over my mom when a girlfriend called me one day and said, I'm just calling to extend my condolences. And I'm saying, condolences for what? You know, because she knew that my mother had died, and she had sent flowers, and she says, on Luther. And I said, what?
Oh, gosh.
She says, Luther. I just dropped the phone and started crying and picked the phone up and called Fonzie Thornton and said, Fonzie, is it true? And he said, yes. So those were
shock
two.
That was a shock to, I think, everybody.
Yeah. Those are two things that happened to me in a very, very short span of time that made me understand even more that I had to say yes to life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I had to say yes.
Absolutely. And you know what, Alpha? We have a caller.
Okay.
Yay. if your number, last four digits of your telephone number ends in 8727, welcome. You're on the air with Allie and Alpha.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. Hi there. This is Star Marshall with Changing Faces Makeup Artistry. I'm sitting here. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm in tears. I'm like, oh, my God. Let me tell you, first of all, I'm so honored to even listen to this interview. Secondly, my heart goes out to you about your mother. But you're a strong person. You're a strong woman, and I appreciate you sharing something so personal on the radio station. And also, Luther Vandross. Oh my God, Luther Vandross was everything. His birthday is on my birthday, April 20th.
Oh, okay.
Luther. Yes, I love Luther.
Yeah.
And I'm just listening to the video. I'm just listening to these nuggets of wisdom and knowledge and survival and just persistency. Oh my God, Ms. Anderson, I tell you, I'm just so honored to be talking to you and Allie. No, Allie, I love Allie to death.
Yeah, Allie's amazing.
I'm her biggest supporter.
Yes,
and
I'm
almost speechless, and I'm never speechless.
And she really isn't. She has a lot, in a good way, though. She has so much wisdom, Ms. Shar. She just is a wonderful, wonderful person. So, yes, thank you so much, Shar.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Your voice is so soothing. I'm like, wow, this woman has an amazing voice. And, yes, honey, we were on the dance floor all the time. Just Oh, my God.
Oh,
freak out.
Yeah. I know, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
oh, my
right.
goodness.
That is so funny. Well, thank you so much for calling, Shar. I appreciate your support, as always, darling.
No problem, no problem. You guys be blessed. Have a great evening and much more success on the music.
Thank you so much, Shar.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, darling. Oh, wow, she's awesome.
Wow.
She really is awesome. But, you know, and I have to piggyback on what Shar said. Thank you for trusting me with that personal story in this show, because I know that, you know, how close that was to you. So thank you for sharing that as well. You know, and at the time that, you know, you entered into the music industry and having worked with such a seasoned musicians as Luther Vandross, I know that there must have been a time when you were, you know, had feelings of maybe inadequacy, or you were a little intimidated. How were you able to push past that fear and kind of overcome that?
that was a hard one, and it took many years. You know, it took many years, and I actually didn't finish until just before I began to do my own writing not too long ago.
Okay.
But I was able to push through it with the support of, Luther, who was around, who was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause I was around all these singers who were just really powerful singers, and I've always had a melodic voice and a softer voice, even my speaking voice. And I just kept saying that I was around these people who were, like, doing this for a living and who knew so much about the business, who were taking voice lessons. I didn't have that kind of grooming. And I felt like I always felt like I was behind. And we would go in the studio, and I would have to learn how to do things that it seemed that they already knew how to do. But finally I said, oh, wow, this is an area in which I'm challenged, and I'm a little weak. But then all of a sudden I realized that sometimes it's your difference that makes you unique. Your difference is your uniqueness. And my voice actually became a voice that was recognizable in the middle of all of those other voices. And we each have distinct voices. But I had to learn how to be a part of a group of people, because a lot of the chic stuff was done in a choir group.
Okay.
You know? So I had to learn how to put myself into that group and put my spirit and my personality in that group, but still be unified with that group, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes.
Because that's what unison singing is all about.
Right.
Unison singing is a lot harder than singing in harmony, because when you're singing harmony, you have your note, you own that note, and you can do what you want to do. But when you're all singing the same note, then
that
how do you make it sound as if one person is actually singing it, unless you are on one accord? And that's pretty much a metaphor for life and the people
very,
that you, you gravitate to. You can walk together, you can sing together when you're on one accord, and you're respectful and appreciative of each other's differences.
Oh,
and those differences make you stronger. They don't make you weak. It makes the whole thing a lot stronger.
Wow. That's powerful right there. That is so powerful. Thank you for bringing that full circle, because that was just like, that kind of moment for me. That was a hit you over the head moment right there. Wow.
Yeah, it's sort of hitting me over the head at the same time. It's like, I don't know what happens when I start these conversations, you know. It's like, what, where, who, how.
That's
but
God.
Yeah. It's the culmination of all your life's work and your experiences. You know, if you sit and you do the work, and I don't mean work in a bad way, in a negative way, in a toiling way.
Right.
Like the root for work and worship in Hebrew is the same. It's the same, avod, which can mean work or can mean worship.
Wow.
You know, so.
Yes.
That's what it is. But it's an internal work.
Right, exactly.
It's
exactly.
An internal work.
Exactly.
And
but
an understanding.
You said something to me when we first spoke about that stood out in my mind. When you talked about the fact that, you know, you mentioned that Luther, at the time when you and him became good friends, he had not hit it big yet, so to speak. And he was, you know, he was still doing backgrounds and the jingles and that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing, kind of building on his craft. But the statement that really resonated with me, and it took on a whole nother meaning than at the actual words that you were speaking, is when you said that he turned background singing into an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that resonated with me is because I believe that God sometimes will hide us in plain sight until it's time for him to reveal us in our gift to the world.
Wow. All right, Allie.
Well, I don't know where that came from, but that came
all
from.
Right. All right. That's powerful, because you're growing and you're learning.
Yes.
You're growing and learning.
And when it's time, God will reveal that gift to the world. But in the meantime, you could, you know, we could be looking right at each other and you not recognize that gift until God says, okay, boom, it's time.
That is wonderful. That is so true. That's why one of the things that I like to, like when people say namaste,
yes,
it took me a while to understand that that means the divinity in me sees and greets the divinity in you.
In you. Wow. That's good. That is so good. You know, my journey, my there's life after layoff journey, it's all about my growing and recognizing my own truths, being very transparent with that, and growing as a result of recognizing that, you know, and even in the midst of getting laid off. And that was my moment when God, you know, saw that I was comfortable, or I would probably have to say now that I really had become complacent on that job, so he kind of pushed me out of the nest, so to speak, because he knew I wouldn't do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to step out on fear, put one foot in front of the other, and keep moving forward and, you know, recognize the gifts and my strengths and weaknesses in order to pursue this plan that God had laid out for my life, you know, that I was just now coming into knowledge of. So with that said, can you share with us a time when you may have been forced to face your weaknesses in an industry that would often demand perfection from you, and it can sometimes be unforgiving? You know, we know that we do that all the time. So how were you able to persevere in the face of that?
Well, you know, I can just talk about the things that are happening for me now because after Sheik and after Luther, I didn't do a lot of singing. I was in education, high school principal, and my husband and I, you know, worked with, you know, where we used to worship and we used to do spiritually based music.
Okay.
And so here I am at this point in my life. Children are grown. They're out of the house. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling like I want to do this again. And one of my biggest challenges, of course, was ageism. Because we live, you know, there's ageism, there's sexism, there's racism. It's almost as if we cannot accept people unless we categorize them. We have to put everybody in a box. And then that way, we can tick things. We can sort and select who we want and where we want them to be. But that's not what life is all about. Life is about holism. It's about seeing the whole person. And one of my challenges was that at this point in my life, am I going to be discriminated against because of gender and age? You know? And I decided, you know, with a lot of work, a lot of internal work, a lot of reading of spiritual books and self-help books and just meditating, just getting to know who I am. You know, just being in the stillness sometimes, in the quiet,
you know,
letting what I am rise up inside, rise up, you know, out of me, came this idea to write. You know, it was like, you have things to share. You still have things to share. Like I wrote a lyric that says, it says in a song called Free, the lyric is, people keep telling me that it's over, that there's no room here for me, but I'm not going to live by their decisions because there's so much passion inside of me. And that was an aha moment for me, and that's when I said yes, you know, that I'm just going to take my life one day at a time so I can be the best that I can be because the power is always in the now. It's not in yesterday. It's not in tomorrow. Your power is always in the now. And I decided to like explore that. So that was definitely
good.
But it was just beautifully perfect, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, and the fact that it happened for me and it's happening for me at this point in my life, time is a social construct. You know? It really is. So I don't really, I'm in the right time at the right place for me.
Absolutely.
So I had to just let that go.
Yes.
Let that go and people, you know, I am a woman of a certain age, but I feel younger. I have a chronological age. I have a physical age. And I have a spiritual age, and my spiritual age is eternal.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. But you know what? The writing, God revealed to you at just the right time, the writing was another level of your gift. You had not tapped into all of the levels of your giftings.
Yeah,
and he revealed that to you at the right time, in the right place, you know, for you to pursue that. I believe that timing is everything, and it's God's timing.
Yes.
It's not man. It's all in God's time, you know. And in this age of everybody wants everything done quickly in this microwave society that we live in, patience. You got to wait on God.
Yeah, and unplug.
Yes.
I had
absolutely.
To unplug. I would just wake up in the morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I just kept waking up. And my husband used to always say, when you wake up at that hour, sit down and think and try to figure out why you're up. Why were you awakened? What is it you need to do? What is it you need to know? What do you need to receive at that hour? And I started waking up and receiving these lyrics. I would hear these lyrics and these melodies. You know, I would hear it pretty much beginning to end. And I asked for, because it took me so long to write, and I, excuse me, I like challenges. And
yes.
I said, okay, I want 21 songs in 21 days.
Oh, that's a tall order.
It was a tall order. I didn't get 21 songs in 21 days. But I set a goal for myself.
That's funny.
I set a goal for myself because at one point it was just going along so swimmingly well that I said, oh, okay. But it's okay. It's really okay to have a goal, you know.
Yes,
and that's the point, you know.
Absolutely.
That is the point, that you set goals for yourself. And I would just sit in the stillness and listen to my heart.
There you go. There you go. So I know that it hasn't always been easy. So has unplugging been the reason why you've been able to withstand the pressures of such a demanding career?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I start my day unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a period where the first thing I would do was grab my iPad or check. And then I finally said, you know what? No.
Mm-hmm.
Start your day reflecting. Start your day in meditation. Start your day in setting your intentions for what you want to have happen that day. Figure out what it is that you can learn that day to make your life better. Can you do anything to make somebody else's life better?
Oh,
you know,
that's
good. Yes. So I would just always start my day, and I don't do it every day. I'm not going to say that I do it every day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's my goal, to do it every day. And I'll tell you this, when I don't do it, I can tell the difference.
That's just like me with running. If I don't run, I can tell the difference in my day.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's my God time, you know, my reflection time. So, you know, I want you to tell us about your new music. So please share with us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I have a CD out called Music from My Heart, and the title of the CD was the last thing to come because I kept saying, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the things that I've learned, the values I hold, and what I want to share with people. And I said it really did come from my heart because it came in the wee small hours of the morning. The lyrics and the melodies would just come to me, and I could hear it, and I would just sing it. No real sophisticated setup like most musicians have. Me and my phone.
There you go.
Sitting in a room, singing into the recorder on my telephone.
Whatever works.
You know, that's how I got this music. And I found that I just wanted to write about the more I saw that I didn't like that was going on outside of my sphere of influence, the more I realized that I needed to write about it.
There you go.
So people say, well, have you written your memoir yet? And I said, well, you know what? Maybe this is the first chapter.
Right.
Maybe Music from My Heart is the first chapter. You know, so most of my songs are about, I have a song called Say Yes to My Desires. You know, I have a song, of course, my homage to Chic that you played earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then When Luther Sings, I believe in thanking people and acknowledging people that helped you get where you are.
Yes.
So those two songs are for the Chic organization and for Luther Vandross. You know, so my songs are about sharing love. And, you know, because I'm holistic, I have dance songs, and I come from dance music background as well. You know, so dancing is my release, and movement is important.
Yes.
Movement is extremely important. You can run, you can dance, you can exercise, but some type of movement. You know, and sharing love, because for me, that's why we're here.
Absolutely.
We're put here
yes,
to
ma'am.
Learn love and to share love.
Absolutely.
And to be love. And then I wrote a song called that has a rap, and I never thought that I would write anything that had rap lyrics. Not because I'm so much against the genre per se, because I do think that whatever the music is out there, it's a reflection of the society.
Right.
It's not an indictment of the people that are doing it. It's a reflection of the society in which they live, the culture in which they live. But I wrote this song called Analog Girl because I'm an analog girl living in a digital world. But the more you live, the longer you live, you see that things just continue to change and evolve. But the core of it is the same.
Wow.
The core values can still sustain you. You know, we used to always say that when you're teaching or in families, you give your children your core values.
Right.
Those are their roots. But you have to also give them their wings so that they can soar.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's powerful. The hour has gone by so quickly. So
just tell us
real quickly, how can we follow you on social media and learn more about you?
Wow, I can't believe it's been everybody, for allowing me this opportunity. I have a website. It's www.officialalphaanderson.com. I'm on Facebook at Former Lady of Chic, and you can tweet me at Alpha K. Anderson.
Absolutely wonderful. So we're going to have you back because this time has gone by so quickly, and I just know we have a lot more to say and talk about. So we will definitely have to revisit this in part two.
Okay,
you know?
I love that.
So thank you so much for being here with me tonight, and it has just been awesome. Thank you so much.
I look forward to our continued friendship.
And you and I think are kindred spirits. So thank you, and thank you for teaching us and showing us how to say yes to life. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you. Now, at this point in time, you know, I'd like to relate our show to scripture. But what I want to do this evening is first to say a word of thanks to those of you who may know about the losses that I have had in my family with the passing of my brother and then most recently with my dad. Thank you so much for all of your condolences and all of your well wishes during this emotionally challenging time for my family. So it has made all the difference. So thank you very much. And I know that through this process of grief, God will continue to help us get through it and grow from it, and ultimately we will be able to give him the glory in it. And so joining me next week is my neighbor and friend, Dr. Erica Gibson, who will be here to share with us about her recently published book titled Preparing Girls for War. And if you are a parent of a young girl, you are going to want to tune in for this very informative show. And as always, if you missed the live show, you can always catch it on the recorded podcast on the Up to Me Radio website at uptomeradio.com. And we're also on iTunes and on the mobile app Stitcher. And you can also continue to follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And so as we get ready to close out another show, we will allow you to enjoy another release by my very special guest, Miss Alpha Anderson, which she has noted it was written in honor of her dear friend, the late Luther Vandross. And so on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. And we do not take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us. And so until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Drive me crazy, I can't feel and can't explain. boo boo.